Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
And welcome to the show, everybody. It's Wednesday. Good day to you. I am Jerry O'Lennon. I'll be your host till the top of the hour. And I am joined by Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. Good morning, Gidi.
Good morning.
Gidi is a licensed marriage and family therapist at The Growing Place. I'll give out her phone number right now in case you want to make an appointment with her, one of their other therapists or life coaches. Their number is 588-0448, 588-0448. You can also go to tgplace.org. We have been talking now, this is our fourth week, there's going to be 10 of them, about the things that we have to give up to be happy. We have to give up limiting beliefs, certain things that we think are true, which might not necessarily be true. We have to quit complaining. We have to quit dwelling on the past. And number four, we have to quit worrying about the future.
Yes.
This is the antithesis, I suppose, of number three.
Yes, number three leads to depression, mm-hmm. and number four leads to anxiety.
Ah, yeah.
So those are the two biggies, depression and anxiety.
Do you find, and I'm guessing the answer is yes, that people who dwell in the past also worry about the future?
Very often, yes, because they're afraid the future is going to be just like the past, and as long as they're dwelling in the past, it will be. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Do you believe in self-fulfilling prophecies? Do you believe that?
We can make it happen, definitely.
We can make it happen.
Just by the way we look at it.
Yeah.
Not that we have power over our circumstances, but if I'm going to have a negative view, put anything in front of me and I'll find something negative about
it. Yeah, this relationship is not going to work. This marriage is going to be a failure. I just feel like it's just not going to work and it's just not going right and we're going to get divorced, and it's just terrible. It's the worst. Da, 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 da. I would imagine you can do things
to make that happen. Definitely.
Do you think it's subconsciously, or do you think it's conscious?
I think sometimes both.
Yeah.
Both. You can do it, yeah.
Right. Okay. I'm still fascinated by the dwelling on the past.
Okay.
That is interesting, because I know last week we finished up by talking about how And both of them involve God, really,
mm-hmm.
because when you dwell in the past, you're unable to forgive. When you're worrying about the future,
you're unable to trust.
I was going to say, the word I was going to use was believe, but trust, it's the same, interchangeable at this point.
Yeah.
So unable to forgive yourself or let God forgive you. One is not being able to accept God's forgiveness. The other one is not being able to accept God's trust.
Yes, to be able to trust God, to look back on your past and say, you know, it's been cruddy up until now, but I trust God with my future.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
really difficult because we all have had disappointments, heartbreaks,
mm-hmm.
very difficult times. We've all known injustice and pain, and it's very easy to look at the future with a negative mindset and project all of that on the future.
Okay, I'm trying to think of an example. Let's just take a relationship. A girl meets a wonderful guy, thinks he's a wonderful guy, turns out to be a real skunk, and it doesn't work out. Now, she's dwelling on the past. How could I be so stupid to get involved with this person? How could I marry this person? Or how could I even fall in love with this person, et cetera, share my life with this person? So she's dwelling on the past. The relationship ends. Now the woman is worrying about the future because she's still dwelling in the past. So she meets another guy who might be just Prince Charming and just the best guy ever, but now is saying, I can't possibly trust this guy because I'm still dwelling in the past. And so she's worrying about the future relationship of this new man that she met who might be just the perfect guy for her.
Yes, yes.
I could see how those two could be connected.
Yes, they very often are. And, you know, trust is a very, it's an intangible form of a sense of well-being and peace.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on what our expectations are. If we're trusting God that nothing bad will ever happen in the future, we're going to have that trust broken.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're trusting God that when bad things happen, God will get us through it, then that trust will stand. Remember the parable that our Lord told about the man who built his house on the rock and the man who built his house on the sand. In both cases, the storm came, the wind came, all the bad things happened out there. But the one trusted Christ and had built his life on the rock, and the other had built his life on the worldly values, had no foundation, and his house fell. So when we have our trust broken, we need to examine, what was it exactly I was putting my trust in? What were my expectations?
Is sometimes, does the trust of God, do you need the challenging times to realize that? Because sometimes I will forget, this is a little personal privilege here, but sometimes I'll forget about my faith, how strong it is, and I need to be jolted. Something bad has to happen in order for me to realize, oh, I my foundation is solid. It's stronger than I realized because I'm getting through this. And so those kinds of tests actually probably help you in terms of not worrying about the future.
If you respond rightly, you're totally right, Jerry.
Yeah.
But if you respond to those tests as proof that God is not trustworthy and the future is always going to be cruddy,
mm-hmm.
then it keeps you just entrenched in that worry about the future.
Are there people who have situations, and I think we're going to be going to a break in about 20 seconds here, but so we'll just kind of bring this up briefly, we're going to a break right now, who are worrying about the future, and because of that, I mean, what percentage of people out there, and I'll leave this question as we come out, what percentage of people actually don't worry about the future and actually are just like, you know, everything is Jake, everything is fine. Are there actually people like that out there? We'll be right back after this.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
We're talking about the things you have to give up to be happy. Last week we talked about dwelling on the past. The mirror of that, I suppose, is worrying about the future. That's number four. And I was asking Dee Dee Hansen, a licensed marriage and family therapist with The Growing Place, about, are there people out there who actually don't worry about the future? Who just kind of like, I'll tell you something who doesn't worry about the future, it seems, and maybe I'm wrong, are homeless people. They seem like, in some ways, they seem like the most at ease people in the world, because it's kind of like if you have nothing to lose, it's like everything is okay.
Well,
I don't know, doesn't it sound odd, but they seem like the most carefree people I've ever seen in my life.
I don't know. I have a different view, and you could totally be right.
It seems that way.
I have a different view. They have been so boxed in by their worries and fears and anxieties and failures that their world has shrunk to such a small extent that the idea of one more responsibility of needing to even think about where my next drugs or alcohol or food is coming from is so overwhelming. I'm just going to cocoon inside. I just see it as an implosion.
They have worries, but different worries.
Yeah. Well, there's different things that have driven them to that state where they can't handle daily functioning.
Okay.
I mean, that's, as a therapist, that's the way I see it.
I guess I'm looking for people who actually...
I think there are some.
There are people out there
who
that
don't
just
worry. they just keep their head down. They do their work. They're happy in the moment. I mean, not perfectly, right? Because we all have our imperfections. But their mindset is not a worry mindset. I think those people exist.
There's a delineation between worrying and caring and making sure it's
and
okay.
And planning.
Planning.
And strategic thinking.
Yeah. If you were to define worrying, I suppose it's spending time on things you can't control.
Yeah. You know, here's a good way to think of fear and of worry. Fear is often, the way I'm using the word, reality-based. So if there was an armed gunman right outside the studio looking in the window at us and pointing a gun at us, we would experience fear, and we should, and we would try to get ourselves to safety.
Right.
Anxiety is worrying that because last week there was an armed gunman out there. Now, every time I sit down in this seat to do a radio show with Jerry, some crazy guy is going to show up and point a gun at me, and it's not happening.
Right.
It's not likely to happen. So worry and anxiety are about things that are not happening, but that create a fear response in my body, in my mind, in my feelings, in my thinking.
I guess it has to do with control, and I've used this before, and again, I'll say it again. He was one of my favorite baseball players when I was young. I was about 12 or 13, played for the California Angels. You've heard me say this name was Mickey Rivers. He was kind of a flaky kind of guy. That was the term back in the 70s, was a flake. He was kind of weird, and he's just
Why was he flaky?
He didn't have a care in the world, it seemed like. He had just a way about him which was very loose, the kind of guy you kind of like to, at least from the outside, kind of be like, he doesn't have a care in the world. He's happy. And a reporter went up to him, and he said, Mick, he called Mick the Quick Rivers. You know, he's just a fast guy. And he said, you never seem like you have a worry in the world. What is the deal? And he said, and he wrote it's actually a pretty famous quote. He said, hey, ain't no sense in worrying about something I ain't got no control over. Because if I ain't got no control over it, ain't no sense in worrying about it.
Mm-hmm.
And there ain't no sense in worrying about something I got control over. Because if I got control over it, ain't no sense in worrying about it.
So he
wrote the book. His book is called "Ain't No Sense in Worrying."
Yeah.
And sometimes my son is a baseball fanatic, and so he looked it up and he's like, you know, that actually makes sense. What's the point of worrying? I've got no control over it. Why should I worry about it? And if I have control over it, I got control over it. There ain't no sense in worrying about it. And it actually made sense.
Yes.
In sort of a peculiar, weird kind of way. And it was called The Wisdom of Mickey Rivers.
Yes.
And I don't know whether or not there's any truth to that. What do you think?
Does
he have something there?
I think so. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really good. People who suffer from worry and anxiety usually are worried about control.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we get our, you know, obsessive-compulsive disorders or other type of anxiety disorders.
Mm-hmm.
The person I described earlier with the gunman is someone who has PTSD.
Right.
Which is not so much about control as it is about safety and security.
Uh-huh.
It's about not trusting the world.
Right.
The world is going to get me. It got me really bad and I wasn't expecting it, and it's going to do it again when I'm not expecting
it. We talked about this, about Anne's automatic negative thoughts,
yes,
which have to be sort of, there has to be a basis of reason to think something is possible, to be concerned about it, but not worrying about it. What's the difference between worrying and concern?
Well, you know, when I board an airplane or when I get into my car, I put my seatbelt on.
Mm-hmm.
I do that because I'm concerned about my safety.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't worry about having a car crash or a plane crash. I don't worry about dying because I'm in my car or riding in a plane or about injury or loss. Mm-hmm. But I do it because it's a wise thing to do. Somebody who worries about the future is going to put the seatbelt on and be continuously anxious.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. We have one more segment, worrying about the future. One of the things you've got to give up if you want to be happy. We'll wrap things up right after this.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
Giddy Hansen, licensed marriage and family therapist. I always stumble through that. Licensed marriage and family therapist at The Growing Place. Her number is 588. I'm going to mess. Here we go. 588-0448. 588-0448. Go to tgplace.org if you want to make an appointment with her or one of their other counselors and life coaches. We're talking about the things you have to give up to have a happy life, and we're talking about worrying about the future. There's no doubt that I think that Jesus was obviously way ahead of his time, because when he talks in the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about exactly that, you know, anxiety. There's no sense in worrying about it because you can't do anything about it, and I'm in complete control anyway, so you know, don't worry about it. Okay, I'm going to take care of you. Everything is going to be fine. But those words do provide comfort, but sometimes it's like Jesus was aware. I mean, 2,000 years ago, he was like, I know people are going to be worrying about their jobs. They're going to be worrying about this, going to be worrying about that, their future. I got to let them know is worrying a sin?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I think to some extent it depends on the quality and the degree and the intensity of the worry.
Mm-hmm.
It can be. It can indicate a lack of faith, a lack of trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think, on the other hand, we all worry from time to time. It's really a normal part of our fallen existence.
Right.
If I meet somebody who says they never worry, I would have a hard time believing that person.
I think I know as a parent, I worry about the safety of my children. That's a true worry. It's more than a concern for me. And if I were to say what I worry about, that's what I worry about. If anything happens to my children.
Yeah.
And so all I could do is pray and say, please take care of my kids. Please take care of my wife. Don't let anything happen to them. That's all. That's the only control I really have.
Yes.
And you have to leave it in God's hands. But you know what? So I think God, I would hope
He does. And you know what? If you chronically worry about your children, if I were in your place, I would just say to God, show me what's in my heart that blocks me from trusting you with my children.
Mm-hmm.
Show me where I'm believing a falsehood about you or myself or my children or this world.
I think I could answer that as a father.
Okay.
I think the answer is, and I talk to God about it all the time, I says, well, God, I went and covered a news story, and I saw a child get killed.
Mm.
So if you let that happen to that person's child, maybe you'll do it to my child. You'll let that happen to mine. And that's the worry, because it happens. I see it happen.
Yes.
And if it could happen to someone else, it could happen to me.
Yes.
And so that's the worry that comes. So I guess all you can do is just... There's not much you can do, is there? You just have to pray and hope that God answers your prayers the way you want them.
There are a lot of scriptures that can help with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are psalms and other scriptures that talk about God has appointed our days, that, you know, from the time he formed us in the womb, Psalm 139, he's appointed the length of our life. I think Psalm 90, the Psalm of Moses, talks about that. So on the one hand, we can tell ourselves, if we believe the scriptures, that my expectation... And it's a natural, normal, healthy expectation that my children should live to a ripe old age and have children and grandchildren, maybe isn't God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
And also the thing I tell myself is, Lord, you love my children and grandchildren more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
You can take care of them better than I can.
Mm-hmm.
And they are in your hands, and whatever happens is your business, is up to you.
Sometimes...
And that helps, Jerry. Yeah. It really does. It doesn't mean it doesn't come up again, but just reminding myself I'm not God, and if for some reason God takes a loved one out of this world, which I've had happen, and I'm sure you have too, we just have to tell ourselves, well, God knows what he's doing, even if I don't know what God's doing.
Right. It's the Romans 8:28. That's the most comforting, I suppose, the most comforting scripture that you can find. And
it's definitely up there.
Right. I mean, for me, it is.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And just to paraphrase it, it's, you know, for those who love him, he will make all things good.
All things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose.
I gave the abridged version, but I'm not sure it was actually accurate. But you're right. Yeah.
It's,
so in other words, even though there's something that causes pain, that he's doing. If you but there's always a caveat. You have to love him in order to have those things.
And you know, another thing, Jerry, when the tragedy hits, and tragedy will come at some point.
Lives, yeah.
We just have to figure out. Okay, God, you're in this with me.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus experienced the most extreme tragedy possible.
Mm-hmm.
You're in this. I'm in this together. Let's walk through this together. I may have lost something or someone in the outer world, but let me not lose you.
So once again, we have just a few more seconds left here. We talk about dwelling on the past is not being able to forgive, worrying about the future, not being able to trust, and trust that God is going to deliver on his promise to make all things good.
Good, and even if it's not our expectation, it's according to his idea of what should happen. And one more thing on that. I'm not a fatalist, and I don't believe that everything that happens is God's will.
Right.
A lot of evil happens that God had nothing to do with. So, but even then, God can use it for good.
Very good. Very good. That will wrap up today's show. Gidi, we're out of time.
Okay.
Don't worry about the future, but I look forward to the future because next Wednesday we're going to talk about the need for other people's approval, another thing we have to give up if we hope to have a happy life. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you next time. So long.